because not often a preacher gets invited for a second time. But I understand you are generous, and I believe God's Spirit is here, which binds us together. Last time when I came here, I said, coming from India, I never ever would have dreamt that I would come to Failsworth. And I was telling to Val this morning as well, but it is God's Spirit who binds us, brings us closer, so that we enjoy that bond of love and we can draw nearer to the experience of Christ and His love. So thank you very much for this invitation this morning to all of you who supported me. As was said this morning, the theme that I have chosen when Dorothy asked me, when Val sent me about the text, I thought we need to revisit or re-understand the Lord's Prayer. Because in this country, when I first came, the first news that I kept hearing was, the Lord's Prayer is banned. Is it banned? I ask you to show a small video of Just Pray, which was basically done a 50 seconds to tell about the Lord's Prayer. And it was supposed to be shown in the cinema as an advertisement, and I was told that it was banned. Can we see that video? For we are prone to compromise most times our gospel values. I think this morning it's a challenge for us to reclaim our gospel values. It is time for us to renew our commitment to the gospel. And I think Lord's Prayer is surely a starting point, an entry point to reclaim, to renew, and to refresh our commitment to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Having said that, the text that I have chosen this morning is from Luke's gospel, chapter 11, verses 1 to 13, is the context where Jesus teaches his disciples to pray. And recently, one gentleman said, if somebody said, give me a summary of Christian faith and write it to me on back of an envelope, I would rather write the Lord's Prayer. Does it really summarize our Christian faith? Indeed, yes, it summarizes, because it encapsulates all of what we believe, because Jesus has come to fulfill it in our lives and asks us to imbibe, to inculcate, and to follow the values of Jesus Christ. This Lord's Prayer is a challenge to reclaim that very essence of the Christian prayer. If you have your Bibles and if you can turn along with me to Luke chapter 11, we see here is a certain disciple who comes to Jesus and asks him, Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples. So it has always been teachers who taught templates of prayers for people and for their disciples. I was wondering who could have been this disciple. Of all the 12, who could have been this, you think? Just stretching our imagination. There is no right or wrong. It could have been anyone, or it could have been none, because Matthew locates the Lord's Prayer in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus was talking to the disciples and to the crowd. So probably it could have been one among the 12 disciples, or it could have been the larger crowd, or it could have been some women disciples who were following Jesus and whose names were not written over there. Whoever it be, they had a thirst. They had a yearning to know what it means to pray. And you also need to understand that the Jesus' community, the community around Jesus, were living under a Roman occupation, run by a Roman empire, and they have been frustrated. Several prayers have done asking God, please liberate us from this Roman empire. So when Jesus was trying to preach an alternative, the kingdom of God, to the kingdom of Rome, it were these disciples who said, teach us how to pray. Our prayers need to be answered. We are fed up with this empire who have been occupying, exploiting, and oppressing us in every form. So taking that as a background, this unnamed disciple's request, this unknown disciple's request represents a community's longing for freedom. A community is longing for salvation. A community is longing for liberation. And therefore, when he or she came to Jesus and asks, Lord, teach us to pray, Jesus quickly had to tell this Lord's Prayer, which is historically called Lord's Prayer. Jesus never titled it as Lord's Prayer, but it was the church that named it as Lord's Prayer. Jesus quickly mentioned this prayer, and Luke has an abridged version of the prayer. Matthew had a little longer version of it, but Luke has a little shorter version of this prayer. This morning I want to share with you 6 things from this prayer. I know it is quite long, but I would try to be as precise as possible. Number one, this prayer is a prayer of liberation, a liberative prayer. Number two, it is a communitarian prayer, a prayer for community. Number three, it is a revolutionary prayer, a radical prayer. Number four, it is a friendship prayer. Number five, it is a hospitality prayer. And finally, number six, it is a spirit-filled prayer. And I think that will help us to move forward as we engage in a conversation with this living text. This prayer, the Lord's Prayer, is a liberative prayer, a prayer for liberation. The community and Jesus' time has been longing for liberty, as I said already. They have been longing to see that their prayers are answered. And this Lord's Prayer, which have 5 petitions according to Luke's Gospel, represents the human condition of Jesus' time. And though we are distanced by 21 centuries from this prayer when it was first uttered, I think this also represents our longing, our human condition in which we are living. Because we see the context of hunger and poverty that Jesus says in his prayer, "Give us our daily bread." It represents a context where exploitation of taxation was done by the unruly Roman Empire on the occupied Palestinians. Debt, "Forgive us our debts as we forgive those who sin against us." Trials and temptations of their own times. And they say, "We are fed up with this kingdom of Rome. Therefore, your kingdom come into our midst." So this prayer has been a prayer that liberates, that gives a sense of liberation for people who are learning that prayer as disciples. Therefore, Jesus tries to teach them this liberation prayer for the early disciples and also to all of us who are longing for salvation, freedom, and breaking of bondages for with which we are caught up in. Again, in Jesus' time, Caesar was hailed. They are compelled to say, hail Caesar. So in such a context, Jesus presents this Lord's Prayer, "Our Father who art in heaven," or "Father, hallowed be your name." It is no longer the human, the emperors who need to be hailed. They claim for themselves the divinity. But our Lord's Prayer teaches us to give God space, the space that God is required due for, because his name alone is the Holy One. It is the Father and not the Emperor whose name is hallowed. And by calling God Father, Jesus brings in that personal relationship. Because people could understand what the imagery of a parent means, a father means. And as I was thinking this imagery of father, God is father to everyone, and we are God's children, which means when we call God father, our commitment is to receive others as our brothers and sisters. If we don't receive our neighbors as our brothers and sisters, our calling God as father remains only a ritual. And I think this morning that would be a challenge with which we need to learn. When we utter God Avinu in Hebrew, or Abba in Aramaic, or Father in English, or whatever language you can, when we utter and call God's name, the commitment is to call my brothers and sisters as brothers and sisters. They are my kith and kin, whoever they are. If you see the Lord's Prayer, which is banned in this country, there are refugees, there are strangers, there are people of all color, so on and so forth. There are several divisions that we have these days. But by calling God the Father, you are making a commitment to receive the other as your brother and as your sister. So Jesus was teaching that prayer to his disciples, to call God the Father. And I also thought this prayer, Jesus learned it from his mother. Sorry if I am a little weird in my imagination, but that's how I see parents' prayer does matter for children. And if you see verses 9 onwards, it says, if your child asks for a fish sandwich, will you give a snake sandwich for a lunchbox? If your child asks for an egg sandwich, will you give him a scorpion sandwich? Which is not. If you human parents do not do such things, how much more will your eternal Father address the needs of the longing community? So I think there is a value for a parent's prayer. And I always thought Jesus, by uttering this Lord's Prayer, though it had its own Jewish roots, but I was trying to look at the similarities between Mary's prayer and Jesus' Lord's Prayer. And if you have your time, you should read this Luke chapter 1 verses 46 to 55, Mary's song, which was Mary's prayer, and Jesus' Lord's Prayer. And if you see it parallelly between each other, there are several resemblances to the Lord's Prayer that Jesus picked up. He was taught in his home to be nurtured with godly values. And eventually, at a time when he was asked to pray, he said, "This is the prayer that I believe in. I believe in my mother's prayer," which was, if you see, "Father, hallowed be your name." Luke chapter 1 verse 49, you can see, "For the mighty one has done great things for me. Holy is your name. Your kingdom come." Mary's prayer verse 52 says, "He has brought down the powerful from thrones and lifted up the holy. Give us each day our daily bread." Verse 53 says, "He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. Forgive us our sins. His mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. Do not bring us to the time of temptation." Verse 54 says, "He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy." I see a huge resonance between these two prayers, which means Jesus as a child always heard his mother praying this prayer. This was a prayer when Jesus was in Mary's pregnancy. He was in Mary's womb when Mary prayed this song. But she would have always told, "This is the prayer that I believed in, and you need to grow as a child that would bring a change in this community." And eventually, Jesus lived up to the dreams of his mother and brought in a change to that community and to the entire humanity and to the entire histories. So dear friends, as parents, as grandparents, your prayers does matter for your children. They can paraphrase it, they can reuse it, they can reclaim it, but they will be nurtured in the values of prayer so that they will continue to live with it wherever they are and whatever they do. Jesus learned, I think, his prayer from his mother and continued that liberational aspect to teach to his disciples and used it in his ministry. It was a prayer for liberation. Very quickly, it is a prayer of community. If you see this Lord's Prayer, it is not about me. "Give me your daily bread. Forgive me my sins." It is, "Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, our debts." So it has a community aspect of this prayer. Most times we have been self-content and complacent with our own things, telling, "If I am saved, that is enough. I need to go to be in the heaven." But Jesus tries to say Christian faith is a faith of the community. And it is so difficult to pronounce a prayer together in one mind, in one spirit, and in one soul. We are all different, and we each of us have various differences that we bring in. But irrespective of this, this prayer has united the Christian community across the globe. I say my Lord's Prayer in my own language, which is so dear to me and which I cannot forget because with which I have been nurtured along. You would pronounce it in your own language, and across the globe, I think this is the only prayer that is recited in most number of languages, in most number of versions, and in most number of each local dialects that we have. Which means it is a communitarian prayer which binds us, whether I'm in India, whether you are in UK, and whether somebody is in Colombia. All of us are bound by this prayer. This prayer is a communitarian prayer. And Jesus therefore teaches his disciples, Christian faith is all about community. Christian faith is all about being outside, being in the community, trying to build people and building bridges for what we have. Bread is for community. Forgiveness is for community. Debts and trials are for community. And praying lonely and individually is easy, but praying as a community is much more a bit difficult task, for which you and I are called to pray in one spirit, one mind, and one word. So this prayer is a communitarian prayer that we see. Thirdly, this prayer is a revolutionary prayer, because Jesus said, "Your kingdom come." Most times we think we would go up somewhere or somewhere down, wherever, we do not know those destinies. Jesus' prayer is, your kingdom come, was a radical revolutionary understanding. As I said, on one hand, they were living under the kingdom of Rome. And here is Jesus pronouncing an alternative kingdom, telling this kingdom of God will defeat this kingdom of Rome, and you will have peace, justice and equality in this kingdom of God. If it is inequality, oppression and huge taxation of exploitation, it is equality, peace and justice in the kingdom of God. So Jesus teaches them, pray that your kingdom will come into our midst. If the first two petitions in the Lord's Prayer are petitions of praise, the last three are petitions of community. So which has praise on one hand and community on the other hand, and that makes it to be a radical prayer. That makes it to be a revolutionary prayer. And I think Lord's Prayer is Christianity's strongest, greatest and strangest prayer. Because as Christians we pray this prayer, and there is no mention of the word Christ in this prayer, if you see. As church we pray this prayer, but there is no mention of church in this prayer, word church in this prayer. We have prayed as Lord's Prayer, but there is no mention of Lord either in this prayer. This prayer, as we have prayed as evangelical Christians, and there is no mention of the word gospel into it. This prayer is prayed by several people, yet whose names and whose locations are not meant. By which this prayer becomes a universal prayer. This prayer becomes a radical prayer. This prayer becomes a revolutionary prayer. And if somebody asked you to summarize Christian faith, to write it on back of an envelope, I think Lord's Prayer would suit the most to explain what you believe in, what you are looking for, because this prayer is free from all doctrines and debates that divide us as churches in this context where we live. A prayer from a Jew on the lips of Christians for the conscience of the world is Lord's Prayer. A prayer from the Jew on the lips of the Christians for the conscience of the world is this Lord's Prayer. In short, this is a revolutionary prayer and a radical prayer. Fourthly, this is a friendship prayer. As soon as Jesus taught this prayer, he immediately told to them about friendship. There are two friends who are thick and bosom friends. And one night, one friend comes to the other friend's house to say, at midnight, I have a guest. Can you open your door and give me some bread? And that friend to whom he comes, he says, I'm sorry, I'm already in my covers. I'm sleeping with my children. I cannot come out of my bed, neither open the door. Jesus is trying, if you link this Lord's Prayer with the action that he proposes, Lord's Prayer is a friendship prayer. A prayer that builds bridges. The story did not end, this guy did not answer this guy. But the story of Jesus, when he says, when that friend comes and knocks him and knocks him and knocks him, his door was opened and the leftovers were given to him so that he went and shared with his friends. Lord's Prayer is located in friendship. As I said, it is located in a community and it calls us to build friendships. Today we have walls that divide us. Where are the bridges that we are building as Christians? Lord's Prayer is an instrument in building a bridge among communities, in building friendships among communities, in building friendship where there is hatred, conflict, so on and so forth in this context. I think Lord's Prayer is the one that can bind us together, that can build us together, and can promote the value of love with which we are moving forward. This prayer is a friendship prayer because Jesus immediately narrates this story of two friends. Fifthly, this prayer is a hospitality prayer. It comes with bread. Jesus said in his prayer, give us today our daily bread. And here is a friend who comes at midnight and asks, please, can you give me some bread so that I need to give to my guest? The friend could have said, I'm sorry, I have washed up all my dishes, there are no leftovers. The friend could have said, why don't you go to a Tesco and buy something at this midnight? The friend could have ordered online so that this friend would have received something at that point. But thank God, this friend had hospitality. The word persistence, if you see in verse 8, it says, I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is friend, at least because of his persistence, and I like Dorothy's version, it said shamelessness. Even though he shamelessly knocks and knocks and knocks and knocks, on that knocking, hospitality is opened up. And I think, dear friends, this morning there are several people around us who are looking for that welcome, who are looking for that hospitality, who are looking for your embrace with your open arms. How many times we have closed our doors telling they do not belong to us, they do not think what we think, they don't practice what we practice, so on and so forth. Lord's Prayer is located in hospitality. Jesus prayed, give us today our daily bread, and explains to them about two friends who share the bread at midnight. And it is where the bread is shared, the friend goes and treats his guest who comes in the midnight. This is a prayer about hospitality with which you and I need to learn and practice. Hospitality at any cost is the highest Christian virtue that we can show forth. And for which I think we need to open our arms and embrace people who comes for bread, for welcome, for hug, and for an embrace. Finally, Lord's Prayer is a spirit-filled prayer. It's a prayer about the Spirit. And in verse 13, Jesus says, if you then who are evil know how much to give good friends to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? This is all about asking about the Holy Spirit. Jesus tries to say Lord's Prayer. He tells to speak about friendship. He tries to speak about hospitality. He says, ask and you will receive. Knock and it shall be opened. Seek and you will find. And finally, the climax of this prayer is if you ask for the Holy Spirit, God is going to grant you that Holy Spirit. Are we willing to ask that Spirit in our lives? We have been filled with so many spirits. And therefore, we wouldn't want this Holy Spirit. And Jesus says, it is given, granted freely to whoever who asks. The Spirit opens doors, builds bridges, breaks down the walls, and helps us to promote hospitality and friendship around us. Lord's Prayer, for me, is a Spirit-filled prayer. A prayer, an inquiry for Spirit, and a fulfillment for Spirit. It is a Spirit-filled prayer, and as every time you pronounce Lord's Prayer, keep remembering you're asking for Holy Spirit. Keep remembering that somebody else somewhere in Cuba is also praying along with you. Somebody somewhere in Kenya and India as well is praying along with you. Because it is the same Spirit that binds you here, that binds us there, and binds all of us together. And the more we ask, the more God grants God's Spirit. Are we open for that Spirit into our own lives? This prayer is a Spirit-filled prayer, a practical prayer, a prayer that has practice, a prayer that is put into practice, and a prayer for which you and I are called to see that we put this into practice. To conclude, if you ask me, has this prayer ever been answered? This prayer was told 21 centuries ago. And till we keep repeating and reciting this prayer, has this prayer been answered? Yes, to several extent, because there are so many of you who are willing to share several of these things into your own context. But the final challenge I want to leave you this morning is, you and I are the answers for this Lord's Prayer. Your lifestyle and my lifestyle is an answer to this Lord's Prayer. And this morning, we need to make a commitment. God, my life is an answer for the prayer you taught to your disciples. I want to fulfill this into my life. For which you are called. I want to forgive those who sin against me. The word sin has a very stronger word in this. It is called use debts in some translations. And I saw a poster on your notices there. There is a debt cancellation for which you want to support people. People are struggling with so many debts in terms of physical financial debts. Countries are struggling to pay back the debts with which they have taken from World Bank, so on and so forth. The Christian value is to forgive our debts as we forgive those who sin against us. And therefore, your prayer, your life and my life is an answer to this prayer. If your life and my life does not match to this prayer still goes to be an unanswered prayer. If this prayer has to be an answered prayer, my lifestyle, my preaching, my practice should make some difference. To that end, may God grant God strength so that your life and my life will be an answer to this Lord's Prayer. We can put this prayer into practice and see to it that God's name is glorified, our neighbor's needs are attended, and we will embrace people in open arms to show Christ's love to one another. May God grant God strength so that we remain committed to these values of the gospel in which we believe. God bless us all through the hearing of this word.